Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. Thank you for watching today's program. We hope our broadcasts bring you comfort as you hear the Word of God. And we invite you to share our services with your family and friends. We often receive communication from viewers during their times of trouble and sorrow. Today, Dad highlights reasons one can become discouraged and ways to look ahead for guidance. We pray Dad's message, Dealing with Discouragement, will offer help and restore hope. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the weeks roll by and we can all get together. And we just think of it this way. All over the world, all of us are gathering around the feet of Jesus. He's at the throne of the right hand of God, and we're all drawn to Him. And to those of you who don't know Jesus and you've never accepted Him as your Savior, this could be the day. This can be the day. And you just need to pray and ask Him to come into your heart. So you stay with us, and early in the sermon, we'll tell you how you can accept Jesus. And we'll all be one great family together. So we're reading Psalm 89 today. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. In Thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in Thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For Thou art the glory of their strength, and in Thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, the Holy One of Israel is our King. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus. He is a King, He is a Savior, He is our Lord, and He's interceding for us at the throne of God right now. So we just thank You that we can come to You, dear God, and know that You love us and will help us. And help us to, in turn, Lord, to put all our faith and trust in You and in Your dear Son, Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing for us, How I Trust Him. And God bless you, Jan. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. And isn't there great comfort in that song that this wonderful Lord Jesus holds us in his hand? That's what he tells us in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. He says that he gives us eternity. We believe in him. He gives us eternal life, everlasting life. And then he holds us in his hand. We don't hold on to Jesus. He holds on to us. And we are secure in him. And then in the last verse, the 29th verse, Jesus says that God the Father holds us in his hand. And so I remember talking to one person, he says, well, what if I just get out of his hand and go and sin and be lost? I says, you mean you're stronger than God? I said, you better be getting some check out someplace, get things straightened out. It's a wonderful, I love to preach. It's such a wonderful message, and because it doesn't matter what your sins are, if you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so when we open our heart to Jesus, he'll cleanse us of our sins. And you say, I want to do that right now. I want Jesus in my heart, but I don't know how to get him in my heart. What do I do? And I says, you ask him to come into your heart. He says he's knocking at your heart's door. He wants to come into your life. And so you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. Then maybe like Billy Graham says, if you've got some big sins that bother you, you can confess them, but just your sins and take away my sins. Then you promise to forsake those sins and walk with Jesus. Jesus taught repentance. Repentance means turning. We turning from the old ways to the new way. You're a new creation, and you have a new life in Christ. And so you just ask Jesus, come into your heart, take away your sin. And dear Jesus, I'll follow you the best I can, and then thank him. And if you do that, you're a child of God. And if you want a verse to go with it, take John 5, verse 24. Where Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, right that minute, right that split second, he that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life. And then he goes on and he says, and shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death to life. John 5, 24. That's my favorite verse of the Bible. And it means so much to me, and it'll mean to you. Well, our letters. Oh, our letters. We get so many nice letters. And so let's look at some of them. And then maybe you'll say, oh, I'm going to write to him. And I've got an experience I think maybe I'll share with other people. Maybe got a question or something. I don't know. But anyway, I'd love to hear from you. The first one we have is from Prescott, Arizona. And this person says, I was flipping through the Christian channels. I stopped as you were preaching about not giving up and knowing that Jesus is with us, with me, going through cancer and pain. I'm 65 years old. I accepted Jesus 40 years ago. I've been clinging to Jesus, but frequently go through desperate times with fear and pain. I will remain stout-hearted. I will cling to my faith. I have many people praying for me. Again, thank you for encouraging me with God's peace and reminding me of God's constant presence. And isn't that beautiful? Because that's where your help will come from Jesus. And Jesus told us, you know, that he would never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave you or forsake you. Once he comes into your heart, he will never leave you. We may grieve the Holy Spirit and we may drift into sin, but we are his child and he remains within us. And the Holy Spirit, he gives us the Holy Spirit until we enter the pearly gates and we're with Jesus forever. Jesus called, another time Jesus says, lo, I'm with you unto the end of the age. So, boy, if you want to don't die, if you don't believe that, then you've got problems. Just take God at his word, that's all. Just believe God. Here's Williston, North Dakota. I enjoy worshiping with you when I can't make a church because of the weather or illness. I was recently in the Philippines, was thrilled to come across your program while channel surfing. It was so nice to hear a familiar, family-friendly voice speaking language I understood, and best of all, talking about Jesus. It was great. And so that, oh, we're so happy to hear that. You know, we are on, with the shortwave radio, we cover 90% of the world's population. And on television, we are on 1.6 billion households. And wherever we're at, you can count on it, it'll be Jesus. That's all we know is Jesus. He is so beautiful and he is so wonderful. And he loves us. He loves every one of you. And you say, well, he won't love me because I've done some terrible things. Worst of all, I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong. I did it anyway. Well, he won't forgive me. Oh, yes, he will. My grace is sufficient for thee. Whosoever will may come. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You can study all about Jesus in the New Testament all you want. He never turned anybody away. Some of them turned him away, but he never turned anybody away. And if you've got bad sins, you go to Jesus, and he'll wash them away in the blood of the Lamb, be as white as snow. Here's Billings, Montana. This is a prison. And they write and say it's a women's prison. Thank you so much for taking your time to read all of the letters that you get and all the messages you teach every week. Your program is my favorite. I'm grateful for you. I pray for you and the others in your program. Please pray for the 200 women and their families, the women that are in here. Thank you again. God bless you. We hear from so many prisons, and we just thank God for that. All over the United States and into Alaska, we pray for these prisons. And I like to tell them, you know, prison bars can't stop the love of God. God loves you no matter where you are or what you've done, and he wants you to put your faith in him. And if you accept Jesus and you're in prison, your sins are washed away. And you may have to pay for some of the things you've done, but your sins are washed away. He'll give you eternal life, and he'll be with you. And you can be a witness for Jesus in prison. And you can have your Bible study. You can grow in grace. And just remember, St. Paul was in a prisoner. He was in prison. And what did he do? He led the guards to the Lord. And how did he do that? You say, I'm not an apostle. How did he do that? He just witnessed. That's all. He just told him about Jesus. So just do that. Be a witness for the Lord. McMillan, Michigan. Please keep us elderly people in your prayers. We do appreciate it so much in Christian love for the gospel of Christ. And we do think of, we pray for the shut-ins. And those are almost every Sunday we'll pray for the shut-ins and those on beds of sickness and those who are elderly and can't get around anymore. And there is a verse that I just love, and it's from the Living Bible. It's from Isaiah. It's Isaiah 46 and verse 4. And we always think of that picture, you know, where Jesus is carrying the little lambs, and then the mother is with the ewe, is running by his side, coming by his side. But Jesus in his arm carries the little lambs. Well, you know that Jesus carries the old gray heads too. And that's what we got here Isaiah 46, verse 4. I will be your God through all your lifetime. Yes, even when your hair is white with age. I made you. I will care for you. I will carry you along and be your Savior. So he carries the little lambs and he carries the old folks too. Isn't that wonderful? And boy, my old legs, sometimes I wonder maybe he's going to have to carry me. I'll keep it going. I got a walker. And with that, we get along pretty good. And I'm just as happy as that can be because everybody just feels sorry for me and they open the doors for me and they're just nice to me. Even people I owe money to are nice to me. How can you beat that? Here's Hamilton, Montana. Thank you for starting my walk with God. It's been approximately 3 years now when God took me to your ministry. Through God and you, I heard the knock and opened the door. with trust and faith in Christ and my daily Bible study, my journey with God has been most rewarding. I feel the Spirit of Jesus with me. I try to plant seeds in others and tell them about your ministry. I will always have a special place in my heart for you and for all of the staff. Once again, thank you through God for the peace, joy, and hope and blessings and answered prayers. May God bless you all. That is so nice. And seeing he talking about Jesus knocking at heart's door. And you say, well, will he ring the doorbell, or how do I know he's there? Well, I'll tell you how you'll know. You'll just feel like, I want Jesus. I want to be a Christian. And there'll be just, you just have that feeling. It's the Holy Spirit. And that means he's knocking. He wants to come into your heart. And you say, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. And when you feel that way, you know what'll happen? The devil will come. And he'll say, well, don't accept Jesus now. Wait till your anniversary. Wait till your birthday. Wait till Christmas. Wait, wait, wait. The devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He never would say that. He'll just say, put it off. Put it off. And you'll end up in a Christless eternity. So if you just have that, it's just something that seems like, I want Jesus. I want him in my life. He's knocking. He wants in. But he'll never come in unless you ask him in. Let's see here. Oh, I like this letter. This is from a man. He's older than I am. Sauk City, Iowa. Help for the poor and in need all over the world. Now what he does, he helps make packages to send quilts and blankets and things all over the world. And he has to drive 35 miles to get there. He says, help for the poor in need all over the world. This makes me so happy as I drive down the road 35 miles all alone to help the poor. Here I am, 100 and a half years old, packing warm quilts, clothes, blankets, and coats. Even the container when empty is used for a home for them. Now here he is. He's 100 years old and a half, which makes me very jealous of him. He caused me to sin now, and I'm jealous of him. But he's driving down the road. Now, I want to tell you, dear brother, you better be very careful where you're driving. If you're 100 years old, they're looking at you. Because I'm 96, and boy, I'm going to tell you, those police, every time I drive them by, they take a double look. And you, because if I sneeze, they'll take my driver's license away from me. So you're an old fella, and I'm an old fella, and we got to be careful. Now, the kids, they zip around, see? But when you're old, boy, you better watch your step. But isn't this, here he is, I think this is so nice. He's 100 years old, and he's going out to help other people, and he's driving 35 miles to do it. God bless you. And here's, we got people sitting around, they looking wise, and they don't go help anybody. Well, let's see. How's my time? Oh, I got time here for just a couple more real quick ones. Virginia, Minnesota, in honor of my relatives in Norway. Thank you, and God bless you. I enjoy the worship hour. And here's the story. This lady lives in Virginia, Minnesota. She's Norwegian, and she has friends and relatives in Norway. And we are now on a station starting the first of this year. We are on the Gospel Channel, and that reaches 52 nations and 50 million homes, and it takes in the Scandinavian countries. So this is what you do if you have relatives. Now, this whole channel, Gospel Channel, it's all in Europe and then the Scandinavian countries in Europe and that part of the world. If you have relatives there, tell them to tune us in. Write to them. Tell them to tune us in. If they're not a Christian, they could accept the Lord. And if they are a Christian, it'll strengthen them, see? So, and then when you write to them, write to us, send us a gift. Because, you know, they don't do that free. We got to pay our way. We want to pay our way. So think about those people. Here's a quick one at the end. Wolsey, South Dakota. I know Jesus died on the cross for me. I ask Jesus to come into my heart and save me. Lord Jesus, use me for your service. Bless me. Amen. And thank you. Well, you know, that's happened, this person comes to know the Lord because you prayed, because you gave. We did some preaching. We did some singing. We got technicians. We got a staff that works all week long on these things. But we have to have all of us as a team all together. And we need your prayers and we need your gifts. And we need you to tell other people about the service. And if you do that, people will come to the Lord. And here's what you do. You write to us, Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. It is a wonderful place. It is so wonderful. And you can write to us. And here's something else. If you want to send a gift over the internet, you get us ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can be any part of the world. We got a gift just a little while ago from Norway. And they put in their money in Norway. We get it in American currency. And we pay our bills. And what you need to do is you should say, pray and say, Dear Jesus, is the Christian Worship Hour something I should support? Are you using the Christian Worship Hour? And I know we are to many people. And we're in our 39th year, 39 years that we've been in the ministry. And all income we have is from God's people. And so you pray and whatever God lays on your heart. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, I wonder if they'll spend my money. I wonder how they'll use my money. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they check our books, they audit our books, and everything is above board. And when we say we're going to spend money for the missions, that's exactly what we do. One other thing. We have a special little paper we put out called The New Song. The New Song. And this month, we have a little Bible study this month. It's results of being born again. What happens when you're born again? It's a little Bible study. So you write to us, and it's free and postpaid. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray. And Jan's going to play, and I'm going to pray. And you give as the Lord leads. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of those who help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Psalm 42 today, and we're going to be talking about people that get discouraged and how we can overcome discouragement. And then in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so we're going to pray for the Christians in Eritrea. And I know that many of you pray during the week, and that's just great. Pray for our brothers and sisters going through hard times. Psalm 42, the first verses, six verses that tell us, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat in day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou so disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise for him for help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, while I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. And, oh, dear Lord, we thank you, dear God, that you give us strength and courage, and sometimes our soul is cast down, and sometimes we become discouraged. But help us, like the psalmist, to put our eyes upon you. And he says, my hope is in God, and that's where our hope is, in God and in his Son, dear Jesus, who loves us so much. Loves us so much, he died on the cross. And the Father in heaven loved us so much, he gave his Son to die for us. And he knew exactly what this wicked men would do to him. But he gave his Son, and his Son came, born of the Virgin Mary, and grew to manhood and went to the old rugged cross, because he loved us. He loves us, and he still loves us, and he's in heaven loving us. And help us to love him. So bless us, Lord. And those in Eritrea, those are the people who are suffering, encourage them and help them to know that they are an encouragement to us, and that we are so proud of them. We're so happy that we are part of their family. And if that came to us, Lord, I'm trusting that we would stand up for you too, though it cost our life. So bless them, and bless especially those that are left behind, those that have gone on to you, Lord. As St. Paul said, is for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. So it's gain for them, but those left behind, and some of them children, precious little children. Just, I know, Lord, you love them more than we could ever love them, and you'll take care of them. So bless us in this service now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank's going to sing a song, You Gotta Keep On Going. Sounds good to me, Hank.
Oh, thanks, Pastor.
Sometimes the world is weary and you don't know what you're going to do. And when you try your best, there's someone a-talking about you.
The devil is a-trying to knock you out of the race. Oh, yeah. You gotta keep on going on that narrow road. Gotta keep on going. Let Jesus take the load. Gotta keep on going to that eternal day. Our lives are filled with so many heartaches and fears. Man born of woman's just a few days of trouble down here. Sometimes you wonder why the wicked seem to have it made. Oh yeah, you gotta keep on going on that narrow road. Gotta keep on going. Let Jesus take the load. Gotta keep on going to that eternal day. There's a day a-coming when our sorrows will vanish away.
Vanish away.
Just keep on going. We'll be with Jesus someday.
Jesus knows everything that you're going through. He's done won the victory, and he's got a work for us to do.
Just keep your eyes on Jesus all the way. Oh, yeah, you gotta keep on going on that narrow road. Gotta keep on going. Let Jesus take the load. Gotta keep on going to that eternal day. Just keep your eyes on Jesus all the way. Oh yeah, you gotta keep on going on that narrow road. Gotta keep on going. Let Jesus take the load. Gotta keep on going to that eternal day. Keep on going to that eternal day. Keep on going to that eternal day. Keep on going to that eternal day.
Well, thanks, Hank, and amen to that. You got to keep on going. And that's what we're going to talk about today, when you feel like giving up. And I guess maybe all of us have those times, or have had those times, where we just felt like nothing was going right. We just feel like we're going to have to give up. And so take heart. And there's a help in the gospel. There's help in the gospel, help in the Lord Jesus. And in our scripture lesson we used in Psalm 42, David is writing here, and he's in the doldrums, and he's discouraged. And that comes to all of us one time or another. And so how do we handle it? What do we do? And so we're going to look at that topic today. In this story, the 42nd Psalm, it doesn't exactly say that David is the author of this psalm, but most Bible teachers believe that that is David that has written it. They say that the style is here, and it is, and as one writer says, it is Davidic. It smells of the son of Jesse. And another one writes, it is probable that David's flight from Absalom may have been the occasion for composing this psalm. And so no matter who wrote it, whether it's David or not, we're going to refer to it as David. But it's the Word of God, and it gives us some ideas on what happens when we have despair. Now in Psalm 42 and 43, we have that God is working, the devil is working overtime on David. And he's kind of getting to get discouraged and not know which way to turn. And he's just about to despair. And that happens so many times. And we get letters from people that are discouraged. And I, being in the ministry now 74 years, pretty soon I'll be starting my 75th year in the ministry. And I've seen some people going through some deep waters and some hard times, and they become discouraged. But there's always a way out. There's always help, and we're going to talk about that today. And maybe you're having a hard time of it right now. Well, you stay with us and stay awake, and there'll be some things here that's going to help you, because it helped David. And so David asked the question. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" As though it's a kind of a strange thing. He says, well, what's happening here? He says, why am I cast down? Why am I having the blues? Why am I discouraged? And so I think that many times we could just feel the same way. Well, there's at least four different reasons that causes us to get cast down or get discouraged and downhearted. And now let's look at those four first of all. First of all, maybe somebody that we trusted betrayed us. Somebody turned against us. Maybe it's a broken love affair. Maybe it's somebody you've had to go with for years. Maybe it's been a friend that you really believed in, and you found out that they turned on you. And it just takes the heart out of a person. And some scholars think that David cried that when Absalom was trying to take the throne away from David, his own father, if you can imagine that. And he says in the fifth verse, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" And maybe it was in that time when Absalom was trying to take over the throne. And wouldn't that take the father's heart out of you? Wouldn't that be a tough time? So somebody you trusted and you really put your soul in, you really leaned on, and they let you down. See, that maybe gets the discouragement. And another reason is people, loneliness may bring discouragement. And that would fit in just fine with David, because David may be in exile and he's cut off from his friends and he's taken away from his home, and he can't go to worship the Lord, to the house of the Lord. He says that in verse 4. "I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude of them that kept the holy day." So he thinks about those days when he was in that temple, when he's worshiping God and having that joy, and now he's cut off from that. And I know some of you folks who can't go to church anymore, and so we have a Christian worship hour. We try to take the place of your church, but we can't do that, because it's just nothing like being with God's people in a group of people. And that's why you ought to go to church if you can. But some of you can't. So we're going to be second best. You say you're second fiddle. Yeah, we're second fiddle. We're just glad to do that and encourage people, because they're lonely and they're discouraged. And that can be a severe, hard time for them. Another reason is maybe there's harsh criticism and somebody's criticizing you for something and it brings on discouragement. David says in verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say daily with me, where is thy God? They were taunting David, where is thy God? If you have such a great God, how come you have all these troubles? Why doesn't everything break right? And you know, we have what we call this health and wealth teaching, and that is not scriptural. That's not scriptural, because you're not always going to be blessed. Sometimes you're going to suffer, and they say, well, you're out of the Lord's will. Well, my friends, look at how Jesus suffered. Was he out of God's will? Are you something wrong? You got some parts missing somewhere? And when you think about when Jesus told the disciples, I want you to row over to the other shore. And so they're rowing over the other shore. Jesus goes on the mountain to pray. They're rowing to the other shore. And while they come, there's such a storm, they're about to sink. And they're scared to death. And they're having all kinds of troubles. Their wits end. They're in God's will. They're right where God told them to be. And they're having trouble. So don't come running around and saying, if you do everything just right and if you're a good Christian, everything will break right. You don't know what you're talking. You don't get it from the Bible. Maybe get it from some other book you've been reading. And God knows we got enough of those books around that isn't any good. But that, just don't ever think about that. And so here these things come to him. And they're sort of discouraging David because they're saying, well, if you're here, we're really good. God would bless you. But you can be really good and have the troubles and trials like St. Paul did with a thorn in the flesh, right? And then constantly mulling over past mistakes and sins. That can get people discouraged. And oh, the devil does that. And he does it with me too. You should have spent more time with your family. You should have spent more time reading the Bible. You shouldn't have been monkeying around with this and that and all kinds of things. Now, let me give you some advice. The devil brings that to you because you can't change the past. So he'll pound it over and over and over and over, and you can't do anything about the past. It's done. So this is what St. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, forgetting them, put them behind. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. In other words, don't look back, look ahead, and press toward that mark. Keep Jesus in your eyes. Make that your goal, Jesus, that beautiful Savior. And put the past, let the past be gone. What does God say about our past? He says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God says, I don't even think about them. I put them away. They're all under the blood of the Lamb. Why are you fussing with them? Easier said than done. But that's one reason people become discouraged. And so what we want to talk a bit about is, how do you get out of this discouragement? What do you do about it? And David talks about it. And it means an examination of our life. Look at yourself. Look at your think of yourself. And David in this psalm said, and he says, I remember. He says, I went. He says he's thinking about the past. And about the good things of the past, of how God helped him and God walked with him and God gave him strength. And so think of the good things out of the past, the experiences with the Lord. Just take those and then build on those. Remember how that God, when the joy that you had with the Lord as you walked with the Lord. You know, there's a story about David and Goliath. And David, you know, had the victory. And what did he do with Goliath? He took his armor and he put his armor in his tent. And they say, oh, he did that to brag. No, he didn't, because he gave all the glory to God. He put Goliath's armor in his tent so he would remember how God helped him and was with him. And that's the thing you need to think about. And Paul said to David, says, I remember those things. And this man, David, says that he's always going to lean upon the Lord. And that was going to help him. He can have a better attitude. He can have a better feeling when his eyes are upon Jesus. And don't blame other people, but just look at your own heart and your own life. And that's what God tells it. Paul says, when you gather together for communion, he says, let a man examine himself. Look into your heart. Lord, is there something there that shouldn't be there? Have I got my all life all cleaned out, is open to you? Have I got any secret sins, or am I something wrong in my life? And just look at you, examine yourself, see. And then God will show you some things you can do, and he'll help you along the way. And always remember this, that when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a new creature, a new creature in Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are begun new. And so you're a new creation. So what you need to do is just take a good look at yourself. I'm a new man. I'm a new person in Christ. And I'm giving a new life. And this life I'm living because the Lord helps me. And the Holy Spirit helps me. Another thing we do is honestly face the facts of life. That is, listen to David. He has the blues. He's discouraged. He's cast down. And what does he have, or does he say? He says in the 42nd in the verse, I will say unto God, why hast thou forgotten me? And so he's talking to God, why have you forgotten me, God? But God hadn't forgotten him. And so look at the facts. Look at the things in our life. Are we blaming somebody else? Are we putting it on somebody else? And David says, God, why have you forgotten me? And God isn't leaving, haven't forgotten him at all. He's with him. He's taking him through the fire. He's taking him through the flood. And I think of the persecuted church, and I pray for them, and I know you pray for them. Those dear people, they're part of our family. They're part of our heritage. And there we are, all the body of Christ. And when they suffer, we suffer. Jesus suffers when his body suffers. And so just think of how this wonderful Savior, and we're all one. And so when he says, why dost thou cast me off? He never cast him off at all. And in the second verse he says, just put your honestly look at the Lord and say, yes, I know God is with me. I know God hasn't forsaken me. I know God hears me. I know God is doing this for a purpose. And do like St. Paul. He had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but it was something in his flesh. Like maybe some say it was migraine headaches. Some say that it was bad eyesight. He was going blind. We don't know. But I know one thing he says. He writes in one of the epistles, you see what large letters I've written unto you. And they say, well, that means he used big letters because he was going blind. I don't know what it was, but it was in the flesh. And Paul prayed to God. And if God will listen to anybody, listen to Paul. And he prayed. And Guy, and he kept praying, and he prayed. And three times he was praying. And God says, Saul, Paul, don't pray about it anymore. I'm not going to heal you. I'm not going to take out that thorn in the flesh. That's the will of God. So what did Paul do? He goes, oh, that's a fine thing. I was stoned for your cause, and I was almost crucified for your cause, and I was flogged, and I gave my best, and you give me a thorn. Thought you was going to give me a crown. You give me a thorn. He could have just a big old ball baby, see? But what did Paul say? Jesus said, God says, I'm not going to heal you, Paul. And Paul says, I will glory in my infirmity. I'll hold it up like a flag, and I'll use it to the glory of God. When you get that attitude, you'll get rid of a lot of the doldrums and a lot of the discouragement. Forget it, and just lean on the Lord. And thank God for the blessings he has given you. Just think of all the good things he has done. Just make a list. Get a piece of paper and start writing down all the blessings. And I'd put down, the first thing I put down is my clothes and my food and my house and my own. That's fine. Be thankful, but then get into the spiritual realm. He's given me the forgiveness of sins. All those dirty black sins. He forgave me all and he washed them all away. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm his child. He made me a part of the body of Christ. He's made me, adopted me. Now, the adopted simply means that in the old Jewish home, when a boy got to be about 12 years old, he was no more than a servant in the house, but then he was adopted. He was made a full member in the house. He was an adult, or looked upon as an adult in the house. Well, we've been adopted, and when were we adopted? We were adopted when we were born again. We didn't have to wait 12 years. Immediately we can go to the throne of grace just like any old timer can. And we can do things in the Lord's name. So think of those blessings that he's given you, and then read the Bible. Sometimes people say, what if I don't feel like reading the Bible? Read it anyway. Read it anyway. What's feelings got to do with it? Pray. Well, I can't pray. I'm so down, I can't pray. You can pray, and you need to pray. And pray hardest when it's hardest to pray. And make it something that you're going to do. A lady told me just this last week, she was reading her Bible, but she wasn't paying attention. And she said, I was reading something, and I got to thinking, what is he? I don't even know what God is saying here. Well, you know, I've done the same thing. I've been reading, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking about next week what I'm going to have for a sermon or some dumb thing, see? And so just to put this, and then claim the promises of God. When you get down, and I like to go, and I, one thing, God has been good to me. I don't really have any problem with you know, being discouraged to the point I can't operate. Sometimes I'm disappointed, and sometimes I cry a little, but not much. I don't pray much. Not much. Nobody's there to watch me cry. Beulah's gone, so who? No use crying if somebody can't see you cry. And so anyway, you just put your faith in God. And when I have any times when I have a little down and I feel a little blue, I like to read the Psalms. Read the 23rd Psalm. Read the 19th Psalm. Read the 27th Psalm. Read the 46th Psalm. Read the 91st Psalm. Read the 103rd Psalm. I just love to read those Psalms. And that's what David did. He began to think about the scriptures and he put his faith in the Lord. And I can tell you two promises that you can use that will work like magic every time. Write them down. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And when you're discouraged, God is there right there with you. Jesus is right there with you. You're in prison. You're in the hospital. You're somewhere. You're having a hard time. He's with you. Hebrews 13:5. And also the next one to write down is Romans 8:28. And it says there, and it says that we know. Paul says, we hope, we might be. He says, we know. Paul's was a no-soul faith. We know we have eternal life. And here in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so we can know it. And maybe the things that are happening, it's a flat tire, no fun in that, but all things work together for good. That'll make a big difference. And one other thing I put down, get busy for God. Quit looking at yourself and go and help somebody. Find somebody that's down and out. Find somebody that can't get out and do anything. Help them. Do some good for them. Maybe write letters for them. Get groceries for them. Read the Bible to them. Do something. Get busy for God. And if you don't, go to the pastor and tell him that you want to work for God. You want a job and he'll faint. That's what he'll take, smelling salts with you and revive him. And he'll have something. Get busy. Stop sitting feeling sorry for yourself. So then the think that, and then all the time, like St. Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind, I press toward the mark, I got my eyes on Jesus. You'll never see anybody run the race looking backwards. Those runners, and when they're in the marathon and all of those races, you don't see them looking back, running backwards or looking back. They have their eye on the mark, and our mark is Jesus. And he wants us to finish well, and he wants us to trust in God and believe God. You see, I think we have a lot of troubles because we just don't believe God. We doubt God. And so just get to the Lord, get to the Savior. But if you don't know the Lord, this is what you have to do. You have to ask him to come into your heart. He says he'll stand at the door and knock. And maybe you have a feeling right now, I do want Jesus. I want Jesus. And so you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And then I'll serve you the best I can. Repentance means an about face. You turn from the world and you walk toward with God. And you serve him the best you can. And you'll make all kinds of mistakes and sins. And you just ask him to forgive you because nobody's perfect. I got a couple that think they're perfect. One guy told me, he says, I haven't sinned in 3 days. I don't know what he was thinking about. Maybe it was a bank robber. I don't know what he was. Haven't sinned in 3 days. In 3 seconds, he sinned right there. But forget that, see. And God will forgive you every time. You just go to him. But so you say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sins. And I'll turn from them, he said to the woman, go and sin no more. That means she wasn't going to be perfect, but get out of that business. Change your lifestyle. Walk with Jesus. And then thank him. And then tell somebody, see. And then write to us. And we'll send you some scripture. Write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And all of you on shortwave radio, now get your race pencils. Oh, we'd love to hear from more on shortwave. But any of you, write to us. And if you can send a gift, because we got to meet our expenses. And we're going to go as long as the Lord lets us go. We're for 39 years. We've been going with the Lord. He never failed us one single time. As a matter of fact, we just kept adding stations until now with TV. And we're way in the high marks for God. 1 billion homes, 1.6 billion. And it's because you gave. We're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or church or denomination. We are dependent on God's people. And if God's people don't give us, then we don't have it. But we'll have it because this is what happens. You just pray and say, dear Jesus, what should I give? And he'll tell you what to give. And then you say, but what if I send it in, Lord, and they spend it riotous living like that young man in the pig pen? Well, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And we just can't do anything about that. So God bless you, everyone. And so, if you'll just write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And those of you who maybe can't get around, you just remember we're thinking of you and we're going to pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this time together. And we're just praying that you'll bless and help the people wherever they are, especially those who are shut in and those who are sick and those who are lonely. Just help them and give them strength and guidance. And dear Lord, we pray for the young people, pray for the children, pray for those in needs. We just ask you to do that. And we pray that in all things, Lord, you'll be honored. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so you pray and we'll carry on our part if you carry on your part. And you can help us through your prayers if you just pray for us. And tell your friends, and especially if you can get them on that new channel in Europe. If we write to them and tell them to tune us in, and they can, maybe they'll find Jesus, or maybe they're Christians, they'll be strengthened, they'll be encouraged. And so we're just looking to you to help us carry the gospel. And we always tell people, God loves you. God loves you so much He gave His Son. Christian Worship Hour loves you. I love you. And we, with that wonderful love of God, will draw us together. We're giving everything to Jesus, and we're praying that you'll bless us and help us. And then when we meet the Lord, won't that be something? We'll have a wonderful time.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.